Jeff, Jeff, Jeff. Jeff, 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 Jeff. J-E-F-F, Jeff. J-E-F-F, Jeff. J-E-F-F, Jeff, Jeff, Jeff.
Jeff Stein's our national and presidential Jeff, expert, Jeff, noted Jeff, author. You can find his books over at Next Chapter Books, totallyiowa.com. The Iowa Politics Report is the show that comes from KXEL, as well as the Iowa Business Report in Cedar Falls, Waterloo. And if you are watching on the live stream, oh boy, do we have a treat for you. Jeff Stein is actually, you can watch Jeff make his arguments, which, okay. He is kind enough to join us on a video stream. Hi, Jeff.
The joy is mine because I get to see you in real time. I mean, that's, you know, that's worth the price of admission, my friend, right there.
That is, could they have possibly put that camera in a worse location in the studio? I don't think they could have. I mean,
you know, it just reminds me of, as a lawyer, I'd go visit people in jail, and there was a security camera always in the corner that looked down at the individual. So I'm guessing folks in the hallway are looking in going, I don't know. I don't think we can break him yet, but he's getting close.
I look like one of those dune worms. So, you know, it's not a good angle. I mean, that's tough.
Well, you know, I mean, it's natural, and that's what's important. And I hate to start this new adventure of live streaming by actually agreeing with you about something.
Uh-oh.
I know. You're going to pull the plug in the live stream, but I have tried to get somebody to buy into my thought that it was a Republican who made that, and nobody will buy in.
But you hit
up on it perfectly. The idea is the ruling will not change. This is going to be the ruling. If it is handed down for the first time in June, that's much closer in time to the election, including some primaries, by the way, that are important. This way, by it being leaked, I mean, again, to your point, people don't remember what they had for breakfast. And so how can you expect those who are very angry about this on May 4th to maintain that level of activism for 7 months? That's difficult.
In the day and age, it makes
perfect sense that it would be somebody on the right who would have leaked it.
Well, in this day and age of social media, I mean, it's like I said, they love posting the picture of the protest, but then they just don't vote. And one thing we know is every Republican will vote. They always do. They show up. It's religion to them when it comes to this. Democrats, I was really outraged 3 months ago, but there's something on Netflix I want to watch, and it's that simple. And so
I developed a meme and I've done my part. That was a very good line as well. Well, here's the thing, though, for Republicans. I understand the theory of a Republican leaking it, get it out there, rip the Band-Aid off, and then let the waters calm. For both sides of the political spectrum, abortion has been a flashpoint for fundraising and mobilizing people to vote. How many Republicans, if this is the ruling, will say, well, there we go. We fought the good fight. How many of them may stay home? So, in other words, your point about interested Democrats who mobilize, there might be a multiplier effect. In other words, a lot of Republicans, if they've lost their key issue, if they stay home and you have these mobilized Democrats showing up, that's a tremendous shift in what we would have said a week ago.
We're going to focus on Alito here in a second, but there's one other element of this leak that I think we have to put forward, and that is a larger fight within the Republican Party. Roberts, he does not want to be the Chief Justice on the Supreme Court that overturns this. He does not want to be. There is some speculation that he has been working on Kavanaugh to get Kavanaugh to change his mind or at least agree to a toned-down version of this. What this leak does, and this is why I scream, this screams Republican releasing it, probably someone from Alito's office, if you want to know the truth, is that by this being leaked, you just said it locks it in. That now Kavanaugh really can't be walked back. And if there was a feeling by Alito that this was that Roberts was going to indeed change the mind of someone, he quickly runs out, hands it to Politico, and basically, you know, kind of kiboshes that. And so now it's out and it's not going to get changed.
Those watching on the video will notice you're not wearing tinfoil hats.
Nope.
I'm not wearing a tinfoil hat. here is what could be going on, and it's very close to what you said. Now, I'm going to roll this back and make a few people's heads explode. I am sure you have discussed the point that if Merrick Garland were on the Supreme Court, this would not be the ruling.
Yep.
Okay. But it would be close. And here's why I say that. All right. If you assume Trump got two justices, pick any two of the three, don't care. Thomas and Alito, there's a block of four. If you have Breyer and Kagan and Sotomayor and Garland as the other four, where does that put John Roberts, Matt? He's the swing vote. And you're right. He does not want to be the Chief Justice that overturns this decision. You would have had, if Garland were on the court, Roe versus Wade changed, limited, some would say weakened, but you still would have the precedent that was not fully overturned. My guess is, and I think Roberts would have voted for that. Roberts would have voted for weakening, but not eliminating Roe. All right, so for everyone who says if Garland were on the court, Roe would be intact, I say no, not intact, but still not overturned. What if Roberts was pushing, to your information, Kavanaugh, to soften it, to not flat out overturn Roe and Casey, the companion case 20 years later, but to soften it to where Roberts would be more comfortable? That would anger Alito to the point of saying, I want my words, my draft from February to be out in the world so that no matter what happens after this, the world knows I had five votes for this. Mm-hmm. And if a weaker decision comes down, then Alito can say, you know, I did my part. So this could be Alito or someone on his side, his clerks, whomever, saying, we are at risk of losing what we thought we had here with this overturning, and they're going to water it down, and we want to mobilize people to, you know, tell Kavanaugh to stand firm. That's just as likely as any of the other scenarios we've heard.
Well, and you have to look at this ruling. Alito, clearly, this is not about one issue. I mean, he tries to say, well, my favorite part of it is when he says, well, thank God we've stopped the fighting between the two sides on this ruling. I mean, God, the implication that this is somehow going to calm things down in this country. Okay, good luck with that. That being said, I mean, he clearly, there's an element of this ruling where he's like, this is only being applied to abortion. Do not try to apply this to anyone else. But as I said at the beginning of the show, there is a laundry list. I mean, if you've just undone the 14th Amendment's due process clause where it talks about liberty, which has been not only is a laundry list of cases, contraception, gay marriage, the striking down of the sodomy laws, all these things, that was what the Supreme Court established, and not just one or two, not 5-4 rulings, for many years said, no, that you have a right to privacy through the Liberty Clause, and so you do have the ability to do this. He clearly, I think when you look at Alito and you look at this ruling, this is not a one and done. This is him establishing with this 5-vote majority that we are going to go after a lot of these things. And the argument they'll say, the straw dog argument that they'll put forward is, oh, well, we're not really banning it. We're putting it back to the states, knowing there will be large swaths of this country where interracial marriage can't happen again. That was the Loving case under the same exact clause. And I guarantee you there's a state that's probably thinking about trying to put that out there. Gay marriage is going to go away. They have done this for a reason, because clearly the last 50 years, and I think the best way to describe the main focus here of bedroom issues, whether that's, you know, an abortion, contraception, gay marriage, anti-sodomy laws, that they are infuriated that those rules were being overturned, and now this is an attempt to basically stop that and return things back to a 1950s kind of mentality.
Well, the first thing with regard to just the protocol, every appellate case is factually distinct. So in other words, the justice, whoever's writing it in any case, they typically make it very clear that it is limited to the facts of that case. That doesn't mean that's how they'll act in the future, right? To your point. But obviously, he's going to say this only has to do with what we believe was an improper interpretation to grant a right of privacy with regard to abortion. And they're going to underline it, and they'll bold it and italicize it. They might even highlight it when they hand out the ruling, because that's what they have to say. Cases have to come before the court, however. The court does not go looking for cases. Will there be, shall we say, willing dance partners in certain states who want to roll the clock back, as you suggest, pass laws that they know somebody's going to challenge so they can get before the Supreme Court? Sure, that could happen, obviously. But notice, one of the things that is interesting about if this decision does come down the way that, the leak shows. For example, my state of Iowa, nothing's going to change. Not one thing, because the Iowa Supreme Court separately blunted attempts for there to be laws and for there to be any limitations by interpreting within the Constitution, the state Constitution, a right for open abortion. Other states are the same way. Now, I understand that that may not satisfy a lot of people, but what I'm saying is, even if Roe is overturned, different states may act differently, and their own constitutions may be interpreted by their own Supreme Courts in a way that makes whatever the Alito ruling does may make it totally irrelevant, especially based upon public backlash.
Well, we already know, I mean, in Minnesota here, North Dakota, South Dakota will be illegal tomorrow, if the, day that passes. It will be illegal the next day. Iowa, Wisconsin will have, you know, triggers that will go into place. Minnesota, we have a case called Doe versus Gomez from a few years back that actually you know, solidifies abortion rights and actually takes them further than the federal government did. So we are going to be an oasis here. The question I have is that there's already starting to see people say, we're going to charge people, pregnant women who go to a state and get an abortion when they come back under our laws, or in the I think it's in Missouri and in Tennessee, they've actually already introduced laws that will prevent pregnant women from leaving the state. Well, good luck trying to enforce that. But they're going to try to make arguments that you can't leave the state if you're pregnant because we just don't want to get you to get an abortion. It's going to be interesting to see where the Supreme Court comes down on that, because let's face it, then you could actually get into a Dred Scott situation, where Dred Scott, that case, even though there was a slave that came to Minnesota, which was supposedly a free state, he sued saying, well, I was in Minnesota, I'm a free, I'm free. The Supreme Court came down and said, no, that the even the free states have to recognize the slave rights of the southern states, which basically meant slavery was everywhere, and next thing you know, civil war. If you come down and all of a sudden say that, well, you know, you can, you know, prevent people from leaving your state or prosecute a person who goes to a state and legally can, you know, gets an abortion when they come back, well, you're going to have some interesting results with that. I mean, it's going to be kind of getting into that relative, you know, that it doesn't matter what the states say, these rules apply everywhere.
Well, and regardless, you've got the Commerce Clause of the Constitution, which to this point has been interpreted broadly enough that it would not limit travel. Now, you're suggesting a situation where this is the first of many dominoes to fall, not just with the issue of abortion, but with regard to other issues. Very possible. I mean, that you know, it's just as likely as not. But that's where I hate to mention this because it angers people, but I will just simply say it. I went to law school at the University of Iowa, pretty liberal place, pretty liberal law school. All right. And I even had professors, and this is now Roe was around for 15 years at the time. So it's whatever, 25 years ago. And even the most liberal of professors who loved the outcome said the ruling had some constitutional issues. In other words, they liked the result. They were worried about the path to get there. If you buy into that, those other cases, Commerce Clause, et cetera, are more fundamentally sound. And so it may not be as broad a sweep as some fear. I just lay that out there. I'm not suggesting I'm taking a side in the issue. I'm just laying that out there as something that it just may not be as bad as some fear.
I think that one of the things that is a problem with that interpretation, and nothing against your professor there, but it's not like there hasn't been numerous cases that have gone up there and they've said, oh, no, that's the precedent was set. And and so it has been challenged over and over and over again. And they said, no, we don't find the constitutional problem. It's now. So what's Alito doing? Alito is basically saying we're going to go back to the original rulings, say that the Supreme Court justices that made those rulings were wrong. They should have never interpreted this way any play. And so it's a big redo. And there's once you pull the worms out of the can on that, you're not going to get them back in.
Well, and that's the distinction. This is, again, very much a legal distinction. Distinguishing Roe versus Wade is one thing. Overruling it is another. And overruling it means you just go back to where you were before. When the Supreme Court upheld precedent these last however many, almost 50 years, well, the Supreme Court threw out a precedent in 1954 in Brown versus Board of Education. Mm-hmm. That was in place for 58 years. But they expressly overruled Plessy versus Ferguson. Mm-hmm. So the fact that you have longstanding precedent that may be overturned, that's not, it's rare, but it's not totally unique. The distinguishing point here, though, is all of the, to your point, all of the cases in the past, I would say, where they've totally thrown something out and they've said, we're overruling it, it's because society has progressed in a certain way. You know, Brown versus Board of Education, separate is not equal. So it's an overruling of that principle. This is a reversion. And that does make this factually distinctive and more unique.
It does. I mean, it would be like, I mean, and not saying that they're doing this, but it'd be like saying, oh yeah, slavery is still legal. I mean, what? You know, all of a sudden you're going back and you're doing something that's been legally set that was overturned years ago with solid legal, you know, standards. And now they're coming back. It's like, no, you wildly misinterpreted it. It's still legal. And people would be outraged. I'll tell you what, we'll come back to the some of the other things Alito said in this, as well as also, are the Supreme Court justices in trouble if they basically said we're not going to touch Roe v. Wade when they were going through their confirmation hearings under oath? 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Jeff Stein joining us on the video, too. Watch on AM950's Facebook page, as well as Progressive Citizen X as well. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM950.
You're just another recovering heart.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein joining us. And once again, if you're watching on video, we got video with Jeff live with us down in Iowa, which is a nice thing. Whose dog?
I thought it was only appropriate because every video of a call or something has to have a child or an animal. And so our engine, I heard a dog and looked, and there Molly was. And so our engineer is going to fix some things in the control room, and Molly's there to help. So, you know, she's now famous. She's now been seen across, several suburbs of Minneapolis.
Oh, no, it's the Metroplex, my friend, the entire Metroplex.
Yes.
You brought up Plessy. One of my, I thought, okay, there is an element of this ruling that Alito has written for Fox News and other groups. And that is, there is that part in there where he says, well, the courts have already done this before, and he brought up Plessy versus Ferguson. He also brought up the case Komatsu versus the United States, where basically the holding of Japanese Americans during World War II, and said, we've revisited those cases and overturned them. So if you weren't bothered by that, you can't be bothered by this. And I said, if there's ever an element of a ruling that's just made for right-wing talking heads to sit there and say, see, he's right. If they're not for this, then they're for Plessy versus Ferguson still being intact. They're just horrible Democrats. I mean, it is written for right-wing talking heads.
There's a lot of that ruling that is written to anticipate criticism.
Yes.
Okay, and pointing out we should not be influenced by public opinion. We have overturned longstanding precedent before. Okay, that's all very well true, but I do think there's a distinguishing point, which is what we talked about before the break, about what it does. Usually when you're breaking a precedent, it's to expand rights. It is not to pull back on rights. And so that does make this factually distinctive, I would say.
Those cases have nothing to do with Alito's argument, which is also, it's like there's nothing comparable. It just is smarminess for smarminess' sake.
It's it's comparable because of the fact it's a 50-year precedent. But again, it's meaningless. It's sort of like, for somebody who said he wasn't worried about public opinion, he included a lot of things in there that are rebutting public opinion arguments.
Exactly. Is there a legal problem for a Supreme Court justice nominated when they go in there and they're under oath and they say very directly, we're not going to touch Roe v. Wade?
Roberts, to my knowledge and my study of this so far, Roberts is the only one who said Roe is settled law. The others said, well, I would have to look at the facts of the case and the law involved. And yes, it is precedent, but I think they weaseled it just enough to where it is not, they did not make a declarative statement of, I will not touch Roe. Now, what they told the senators like Susan Collins in closed doors, behind closed doors, that's a whole different issue, but that's not Roe.
You and I could spend another entire show on Susan Collins, who right now her value is sinking and sinking fast. Once again, Jeff Stein, we'll put the Iowa Politics Report out there. It is good to see you, my friend, dog and all.
Well, it's good to see you. Suck mug and all, or whatever else you have in the studio there.
Oh, it's my drinks, my beverages. thanks, Jeff. Hour 2 of the show, that's coming up next.